It's Monday, April 4th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Have we got a great show lined up for you tonight? We're back to the regular screen. No green screen tonight, but lots to talk about, lots to share, and a special announcement as well. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
Go flight.
Music bed.
Go flight.
Microphone.
Go flight.
Video feed.
Go flight.
Web browser.
Go flight.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go flight.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Voice ready confirmed.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all our great content. We've got a great bevy of writers at the website, creating a lot of really super tech content on a daily basis. And of course, we've got lots of tech shows for you to watch as well if you want to watch or listen. Of course, I produce this show every Monday and Thursday evening here in Honolulu, which is released every Tuesday and Friday. The Gadget Professor is produced and released every Thursday, and episode 2 will be coming out this week. And of course, the Saturday Morning Tech Show, which is done every Saturday morning. Plus, some more shows coming. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But of course, I want to welcome the Ohana, all of the longtime listeners of the show. Those of you that are part of the family here, thanks for staying subscribed and being subscribed. And of course, thanks for sharing the show with your friends, family members, coworkers, and you know, whoever else will listen to you to check out the Geek News Central podcast. Of course, we want to welcome listeners from a country, from 182 countries worldwide that are tuned into the show. And I should say listeners and viewers, because I don't really break it down, because I know that a lot of people are watching, a lot of people are listening. So thanks for being here. Hey, if you want to stay abreast of what's going on with the show, the best thing to do is get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter really will contain everything I talk about during the show today, and that'll go out immediately following the show, and it'll land in your inbox. That way it'll remind you, number one, that there's a new show out. Number two, you'll have all the links to all the content that I cover. Number three, if you don't have time to listen to the show right away, at least you can see what I highlighted and maybe catch a few articles right off the bat. But number four, best thing is after you've listened to the show, you can go back and say, boy, I wanted to get some more information on this specific link. They're going into more details. So the newsletter link is on the website, and really all you got to do is drop your email address in there. We won't spam you with whatever. We're just going to send you the show notes to the show. We'll have a new newsletter set up for the Gadget Professor, and a new newsletter set up for the Saturday Morning Tech Show here this week. So we'll have some new links on there as well. So just make sure you get signed up to the right show. Of course, you can watch us on the Tech Podcast channel or on the Roku or Boxy. So if you're kicking back in the Lazy Boy and want to watch the show, just fire it up on the Roku or Boxy. And you can watch the show there as well. We're streaming live on Justin.tv and Ustream. And matter of fact, I got a lot going on. I have an upload going on that I thought was going to be finished, and the Justin.tv stream going on at the same time. I'm hoping that the Justin folks are not seeing, you know, the video chopping. So if it is, the timer is saying 22 minutes left on the uploaded. And of course, we'll be done with the show in about 75 minutes or so. So it should get better on Justin, or just come over to live.geeknewscentral.com. And of course, if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknewsgmail.com. Of course, the email is send it over to the show. Just put your little comment in about what you like, what you hated, what you think we should improve upon. Or if you want to really voice out your opinion, you can get on the telephone or on Skype and dial +1-619-342-7365. Call the 24-hour hotline and let us know how you feel, or share something with us of importance. It's a new month. I want to thank the sponsors here of the show. GoDaddy.com is back with us again this month, longtime sponsor of the show. We want to thank them. And of course, we wrapped up sponsorships with two other sponsors here last week. So they're out. We are going to have a new sponsor start at around the 11th of April. So we'll have a new sponsor coming on board. And I'm more excited about our full-time sales gal that's going to be starting at Raw Voice on the 11th of April. And so hopefully we'll be have a much wider breadth of advertisers for all of our content creators over at Raw Voice. So thanks, GoDaddy, for being a sponsor here. And of course, if you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be, you'll definitely want to definitely check out GoDaddy.com. And I was going to bring this up for you here and let's see if I can flip this in. You know, I still have this, the CES25 code we thought was going to go dead. It's still working. So if you're not a customer yet at GoDaddy and you want to save 25% on your first order, all you got to do is go over there and sign up for an account. Pick out the products that you want when you get to the checkout counter. Use that code CES25, and it'll save yourself 25% on your first order. Lots of great hosting packages, and we're actually testing the shared hosting accounts right now. I've got basically a starter website we're doing some experiments with. We're testing loading. We're testing speed of downloads. A bunch of stuff. I'm just trying to kind of stress test, because what I did is I put up one of my shows into their hosting account, and then we saw what kind of downloads we were getting from the time it was put in to really when the show tapered off after about 96 hours of downloads, and it was the video file, and a big one at that, and we were seeing sustained speeds on that I was pretty impressed with. Now, I don't know if you want to try this at home, folks, but I really wanted to see how the site would do. And of course, it's unlimited bandwidth. Technically, you're supposed to have a website up that's hosting the same media, but we ran with it and see what would happen, and it worked great. But I have known some people that have not had their websites hosted there and were serving media from a different site there, and they've run into trouble. But great place if you're just starting as a new media creator, consider GoDaddy and their hosting accounts, and you might be pleasantly surprised. Anyway, you can get 20% off on a one-year shared hosting account by using the promo code TOD20. And, of course, I have a whole host and bevy of GoDaddy codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You'll find that in the second column of the website. And all you really have to do is click on that link. It'll take you right to all the promo codes. All of my codes are non-expiring. And we've got the April codes up there. And if you want to share those, we'd definitely appreciate it as well. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. And thank you for supporting them in the month of March. And I hope you'll continue to in the month of April. All right, lots going on here. Kind of watching the traffic on the Gadget Professor. Lots of emails coming in saying, love the show, love the show. Having folks waiting for episode number 2. And I'm really excited about episode number 2. The one comment we did get back, and they'll be passing to Don. Don, our host of The Gadget Professor, he is The Gadget Professor, that want a little better show notes. And really, that was kind of my fault for the first show getting out of the shoot here. And he'll be doing the show notes for show number 2 and have more detail in there what's in that. So I look forward to a new Gadget Professor on Thursday. Hey, this week, we made an announcement yesterday. Actually, I had the guys posted up on the blog at Raw Voice yesterday, and I put a post up on my website. See if I can find the link here. We're going to, some of the staff members are going to be going to NAB, which is the National Association for Broadcaster Show, which starts the next Monday. And we exhibited there last year, and we introduced our Roku platform at NAB. And this year, what we're going to be introducing at NAB is a new media on-demand service. And really what this is, it's going to be a pay-per-view package. And basically what people will be able to do, content creators, whether it be an educator, whether it be an independent film artist, whether it be just a regular content creator like me, we're going to make it available. So through a new portal, and I'm not yet announcing the new site name, we're keeping that under wraps for a few more days, but this new site will have basically all premium content, where you'll be able to go to a central location. You'll be able to find probably a lot of your favorite podcasters' premium content, be able to find all this other, whoever we can attract to the site, and you'll be able to, not only will you be able to get it online and watch it through the portal, you would also, if you have a Roku device, you're going to be able to load the channel on your Roku and kind of cruise through stuff like you do now with your pay-per-view. And you're going to be able to go in and preview a video, and or preview content. And then it'll have a little, you know, introduction clip or whatever the content creator creates for the preview. And then you'll make a decision whether or not you want to pick up that product. And there'll be just a simple click, one click buy, and you'll be able to buy either a subscription to a longtime series, or we'll have it a one-time buy for content. We're excited about being able to roll this out. And again, it's going to be on the Roku initially, with expansion into other devices, of course. And clients are going to be able to sell their media online through us. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be a great service. We announced it to the community today. We've probably gotten back 50 responses from content creators saying, let's want to hear more, let's get going. And then, of course, we'll be shouting out to the independent film creators we've met over the past couple of years that have wanted this kind of a service. And we think it was just perfect timing to do this. And, you know, we've worked real hard to have this great platform. And all we have to do is do some minor tweaks to our raw voice generator platform to make it support what we want to do with this new initiative. So that's what we're going to be debuting and actually showing off at NAB. And of course, I'll have some videos for you probably after the show. We'll actually do some demos. I'll show you how it works. We'll be officially launching the site a couple of weeks after the show. We're not quite ready with everything. We're really close. Matter of fact, I know Angela's pulling some all-nighters this week too. Just like anything else, you get down to the wire with any type of a new product introduction, and things that you didn't think was going to pop up do. But we're pretty excited about that, and we'll be talking about it more here after NAB. Now, the reason I'm not going out to Vegas next week is I have to be in Texas. I have to go out to Texas for a two-day meeting, and this is pretty significant as well. So we're splitting the resources of the company. I'm going one way. The other guys are going the other. And believe me, this is it's big, a big reason to, I just cannot miss this particular meeting. And that's saying a lot, because you guys know I want to be in Vegas at NAB, but anyway, we're going to split the team up, and we'll have a couple of guys there, and I'll be in Texas, and then the other rest of the team will be in Columbus and spread out wherever else we are. But anyway, that's what's going on. So next week, the shows will come from the heartland of Texas and be coming from there for two shows. And there'll be no Saturday morning tech show the week following NAB. I'll be flying back to Honolulu that day. But two shows next week from Texas, and then no Saturday. This coming Saturday, though, we'll have a Saturday morning tech show. I did get some email back on the on the green screen from the last show. The only thing I didn't like was it looked like I was like way off in the distance for doing the show. And it made me real small, and the set was kind of cool. We're going to play with that a little more. All the feedback so far was positive. The only thing that people really wanted me to be able to do was be able to bring in the articles real close like that versus, that it was a little bit tiny for the actual article to be able to see them. So that's probably one thing will change when we go back and do the next virtual set. So I hope you caught the Saturday morning tech show. Boy, it's tough getting up at 5 a.m. on a Saturday to start the show at 6 a.m., but got one knocked out and had a pretty good show. Looking at the format of that, I'm going to probably be shaking that up a little bit. I'm not completely satisfied with the format of the Saturday morning tech show. So I'll be, and actually I've gotten some advice from some folks that actually are watching every weekend. So I'll probably be making some changes there. Continue to do my school stuff on the weekends. Eight more weeks, baby, and I'm done. I am done with all the college classes I am going to take for a while. And my nubs are wore down because of all the pounding on the calculator and working in Excel spreadsheet. Yeah, I'm doing a heavy level statistics class, and it sucks. It really sucks. It really does. But what can you do, right? You got to do what you got to do. It's just one of those requirements. Okay, let me look here at my stack of what I've got in the list for you. And let's see here. Have I covered everything there? Yes, I have. But I want to remind you, of course, that if you like the Geek News Central podcast and you want to support us, get over to the Ohana store. And you can do that by going to cafepress.com/Ohana store. We've got polo shirts. We've got T-shirts. We've got things for the ladies. We have variety of colors. We have mugs. We have coffee cups. We got water bottles. We've got a green T-shirt. Again, hats, caps, T-shirts, polo shirts, you name it, variety of different colors, different designs. We've even got mouse pads. I don't know, does anybody even use mouse pads anymore? We've got stickers and stuff. So definitely check this stuff out over at the Ohana store at cafepress.com/Ohana store. And I want to thank Sam, our resident geek in Albuquerque, for running this for us. And Sam and I want to encourage you to get over there. If there's something you don't see that you want us to add to the store, please let us know. Go over and pick up some Ohana wear and support the show that way. Thanks for everyone that has picked up some stuff at the Ohana store. Okay, let me look at my list here. And I do have a pretty good one tonight, too. Actually, I had to knock some stuff down because I had just way too much stuff. But the first article, actually, believe it or not, I want to tell you guys this. They're predicting 60 degrees here in Honolulu tonight. And I'm actually feeling the breeze come in the window. And it's actually, I can tell the temperature's way down. We got this front coming in. We're going to get blasted tomorrow with, actually starting Tuesday night with rain, thunderstorms for next 3 days. And this is weird. This is weird, weird weather for Hawaii. This time of year, we're already supposed to be drying out. Believe me, we can use the rain anytime, but in it, also I like it because I don't have to water the plants and that's around our house, our jungle that's around our house. And, but it's, I tell my wife, it's going to get down to 60. She's like, oh my God, it's going to get so cold. that's what happens when you live in Hawaii as long as we have 60 degrees. That's news. Oh, hey, one thing I did want to say is I'm going to try in starting the next show. If you call into the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365, we're going to play those up front. I'm going to go through, I'm going to kind of be picky. If I find one that's really good, and I hate to say if it's not so good, it's going to go on the back. We'll have to make, of course, I'll probably insult you guys if I don't play them all. I'm just going to have to play them all at the beginning of the show. But I think what we can do is it's kind of like old business. We'll cover old business at the beginning of the show. We'll play the audio comments. We'll still save the email to the end, but at least those that take the time to call the voicemail hotline, we'll play those up front and try that as kind of an initial format change here and get a little geeky a little earlier in the show. Okay, let me go ahead here and bust into this. If you want to see the full details on our announcement I just talked about, I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Hey, more on world news. You know, we talked just a little bit on the last show. We talked a little bit on the last show about this, GE not paying any taxes and actually getting money back and, some of the other crazy stuff that's been going on. Did you hear this? This is such a, you remember that oil spill we had in the Gulf last year? Okay, that obviously was not a result of a company being very safe. But, that company Transocean, they're the ones that are responsible for these millions and millions of barrels of oil being dumped into the Gulf of Mexico. Did you know they got a bonus for best year for safety? What would a bad year look like? Would that mean all of their oil rigs would be at the bottom of the Gulf? They actually got a bonus. How much was it? This cannot be true. I'm looking here. This article is on April 3rd, not April 1st. I just please someone tell me that this is not true. And how stupid what press person, PR person would allow them to make this type of an announcement? it shows you how screwed up this world really is. It just doesn't just make you go. If that was my company, those executives would have been fired. I probably, if I was the CEO, I probably would have already been fired myself. You just don't, I just don't get it. I just don't. But how the world turns, right? They live in a different world than we do. They really, really do. All right, let's talk about the future of Engadget. Boy, oh boy. 7 major players over Engadget have departed. They have defected to another blogging site, a sports site called SB Nation, which has been doing some amazing stuff over the last couple of years. Of course, an SB Nation podcast, I think, won the actual People's Choice Award last year. I think it was an SB Nation podcast. And most of the Engadget, heavy hitter Engadget folks went over to SB Nation. They're going to be starting a tech blog over there. Supposedly, one of the reasons why they jumped ship is because AOL's CSM platform hasn't been updated since 1993. I'm reading that. I'm like, 1993? You got to be kidding me. You know, that sounds a little ridiculous. Considering how long blogging's been going on. If you told me 2004 or 2005, that would be one thing. But apparently the blogging platform over there sucks. So that was one of the reasons why they left. And the folks over at GigaOM basically talking about AOL's major weakness. And so the question for everyone is, do you think Engadget as a website is going to be able to bring in enough good writers to cover, you know, the loss of these heavy hitters over there? You know, it doesn't really, it doesn't take a genius to really figure out here that AOL's got, has some trouble on their hands. But after, AOL acquired Arianna Huffington's Huffington Post for $315 million in February, you know, anything is possible, I guess. We'll see what happens with Engadget. But, The team over there took a walk, and they're going to be writing an SB Nation. It's a sports site, but they're going to be start writing some tech stuff. But must have been some major money being offered to those writers to defect over there, because you don't see that kind of a move in starting a tech site on a predominantly sports site, unless there was some sort of major moolah offer. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. But do you guys think the Engadget's going to be able to survive? I was watching their content today in the last couple of days and not seeing a big difference. So maybe it won't have an effect whatsoever. Only time will tell on this. But love to hear your comments on it at geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. All right, well, The Empire Strikes Back, and we knew this was coming. Cablevision today announced a 300-channel live TV iPad app. So, hey, you know, not to be outdone. You know, Time Warner's puny 32-channel, or actually reduced to 20-channel iPad app, and then the folks at Cablevision just comes on and says, yeah, we can do it. No sweat. We'll put 300 channels up. And this is a battle that is definitely going to be fought here in the court soon. So we'll see how this is going to work out for both these companies. But if you're a Cablevision user, you know, just a big score for you. And if you're a Time Warner customer in the lower 48, then you're in action too. So is anybody using this? Has any of you tried the actual iPad app? And have you got a taste of the Cablevision one? So I told you, it wasn't going to be long before the cable providers started to, how should I say it, influence your behavior by making it very tempting not to cut the cord. But is this going to change anything? It doesn't change too much, because on the Cablevision channel, it's still the same stuff. It's not any of this stuff. It's still their stuff that they're paying so much, you know, so many millions of dollars a year to the networks for the right to have the content on the channel. What's going to make a big difference is if Cablevision or Time Warner or Comcast comes to a company like Raw Voice and say, hey, we'd like to have your top 50 shows as content channels. That, my friends, will be when there's a big difference, but they'll never do it. They'll never do it. We've talked about it many times already about how they responded to questions I asked during an over the top conference, where we basically said, hey, how do we play in your sandbox? And we don't have enough money because they have millions and literally billions of dollars to do what they please and pay off whatever congressman that they need to make sure legislation's put in place to make sure they're protected. We're going to talk about the cable companies becoming very protective as well on a later article where they got slammed by the FCC, but that's a little later in the show. Hey, D-Link has introduced the DSC-932L wireless day and night home network camera. I've asked D-Link. They sent me the press release. I didn't write an article about it, but I asked D-Link for a sample so we could review it on the Gadget Show or the Gadget Professor, and they did not respond. So we'll see if we get one of these as a review unit. But what I like about this and what's been announced so far is you basically can tune into this thing with your mobile device. So you can have this thing set up and pointed maybe at a babysitter or your kid's room or something like that, and you can actually dial into this thing and actually see what it's seeing wirelessly. It's for $149, and you can do it via web browser or any Android or iPhone via the app they have available for it. So we'll see what happens with this, but hopefully I get actually one to review. All right, Sprint is planning to go it alone. You know, they've waited forever on NFC, and what NFC is basically being able to take your phone and make a payment at a convenience store on a vending machine, just like they have been able to do in Japan for years and years and years and years. So Sprint is saying that they are going to introduce Tap and Go later this year. They're going to go alone because they say they're ready, and they're going to push this out. So this article is over on Bloomberg.com, and so Sprint is working with payment networks and a handset maker on technology again called Near Field Communication, or NFC, which then allows people with smartphones to make purchases by tapping them or waving them in front of electronic readers in stores. So this is forthcoming. Can't wait for this particular feature. How many of you? Okay, I love my miles with my Visa card. Everything, when we go out and we buy groceries, when we pay for our gas, when we do basically everything that we can, we charge. Now, I always carry a little cash in my pocket, not a lot. But when I go to a convenience store, let's say 7-Eleven, or here we have a variety of different convenience stores, not particularly 7-Eleven, but if I run in and grab a bottle of water or a soda or whatever it may be, you know, that's a couple bucks, right? So I'm not going to use my credit card for a $2 transaction. But I have gotten in lines before where there's 4, 5, 6 people, and maybe people have one item and they'll charge. And you know, and the thing is, it drives me insane because you're waiting, you got to run the process of the transaction. At least now, some places you don't have to sign every time. But don't those of you that like to do those small transactions in cash, doesn't it drive you crazy? Or do you guys get your 2 miles for every swipe? Well, really, I cannot wait for this because I'm going to be able to go up to a register and just do the tap of my phone on the thing. It's going to pay like it was an automated transaction, and boom, it's going to be done. And I can roll. I have to swipe my card. I'm not going to have to wait for the receipt. And I have to wait for the phone to dial out or whatever it is. For those little small transactions, cannot wait. I really can't. It's just once you see how they, once we get it so it's wide enough in use in this country that it's like it is in Japan, you guys will wonder how we ever did away without near-field communication with our cell phones for as long as we have. All right, next article up. out of the University of New South Wales, which, of course, is down in Australia, they have introduced what they are, or they're announcing, a major advancement for a bionic eye. Now, this has exciting potential. So again, the UNSW researchers have unveiled the microchip, which is expected to power Australia's first bionic eye. And this is a remarkable new microchip that has brought Australian retinal implants much closer to reality. It's only 5 square millimeters. The device is tiny, but they're saying it represents an advanced nerve stimulation technology. And the design team incorporated never-before-attempted features. And this is pretty impressive stuff. If you read through the full specs on this, they've done an amazing job. And you remember on Terminator, he had that eyeball that looked like almost, you know, if you have a webcam like this, and it's got the it's got that little red dot in there. It doesn't actually light up, but you know, it kind of looks like that. A little unnerving, you know, if you think about the Terminator and how his eye looked. But in reality, if someone is vision impaired and they are able to regain sight because of this, this would be huge. Now, they are feeling that this will be initially for people with macular degeneration, which affects a lot of people in the world every year. My grandmother was virtually blind because of macular degeneration. And, of course, hopefully it'll help those that are legally blind or born blind or have been blinded by some sort of a industrial accident or disease. And this is exciting stuff. So we'll see. We'll see how long this takes to actually make it into an eyeball and where someone is actually able to see something. I'm sure over time it's going to need a lot of tweaking. But, this is great stuff. It really, really is. All right, one of the articles I caught over in Engadget today was talking about a new product, Panasonic's first rewritable 100 gig, what they're calling a BDREXL disc, which is going to launch later this month. And this is pretty cool. This is basically a new disc that will store 100 gigs on it. It's going to cost $118 for one of them. But if you're looking for some flexibility in storage and archiving, basically Panasonic is bridging the gap here with this new triple-layer BDREXL disc. Now, the latest burners from Pioneer and Buffalo already support these new discs, and owners of other hardware may want to double-check their spec sheets before ordering one. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes on this if you want to check it out. But pretty cool for, you know, CD storage. With workplaces getting more picky about these little items coming into their places of business. As a matter of fact, I'm starting to see places where they're banning USB sticks in their workplace just because these are virus magnets. And, who knows where someone's stick has been, right? So companies are starting to ban USB sticks, whereas if they have a, you know, CD or DVD, generally the antivirus software is more susceptible to actually catching something on those versus they are something that being stuck into a machine right away. Don't ask me why, but that's their theory behind it. So anyway, we'll look forward to this launch by Panasonic. I've had some interesting articles written on Geek News Central. I've been learning about some new companies, some new services out there. I've got some hardcore audio fans that are part of the writing team at Geek News Central. And the article that was written by KL was about Rydio, R-D-I-O. And basically, KL said that I'm on the lookout for new music and I want to hear it before I buy it. At this point in time, I have iTunes and Pandora. I like them both, but they both have their weaknesses. iTunes is a great way to store music you already own, but it's not very good at finding new music. Goes on to say, iTunes Genius has never worked very well for me, and listening to even 90 seconds of music is not very helpful. Pandora is a little better at discovery, but you have a little control over the music it plays once you have entered initial song. So basically, Ridio allows them to, for example, put in a search, and the one that was put in was Velvet Underground, and a page came up with a list of their albums and popular songs, and on the right-hand column were a list of bands that were influenced by them. And so basically, you're finding the same type of music. So I thought I'd give this a spin. And when I loaded it, I'm an AC/DC type of guy. You know, that's if I want to really kind of get the old blood pumping. So I typed in AC/DC, and of course their songs showed up. And on the right hand column of the website, I was looking through, and I was like, oh yeah, let me check that out. Band I never heard of before. I was like, yeah, this is good. I like that. Add them to my little favorites list on it. So this is kind of cool. And RDIO, I guess, is the website, RDIO.com. And you can check it out. Let me know what you think about it. Anyway, good catch by KL. Of course, article over there at geeknesscentral.com. Sony's also dropped two new headphones on the market. So if you're in the headphone, basically looking for headphones right now, one wireless, one that goes in your ear. So definitely, actually, they both go. One is a cuff type, and one type that goes in your ear. And these are pretty nice, so definitely check these out. Available, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you on that. Now, I really get leery about talking about WordPress templates. So many of the websites are loading up their templates with nasty stuff, whether it be some code, whether it be some advertising. So I get really nervous about this. And but Alan has written about and again, I have not reviewed this. I sent an email off to Alan and said, okay, you know, how much experience have you had with this site? But he talked about a new source for finding freemium, in other words, premium WordPress themes. So I have this up the show notes for you. But again, it's another article over at Geek News Central. So I'm just telling you, even with these sites, a little word of caution, when you go out and buy a template, you know, do some searching about the company in Google to see if you can find out about spyware or anything like that. And that will sometimes give you an insight into the company. And also look at the templates real close. Look at the actual code within them. And they're not, make sure they're not doing anything funky in the code. And usually you can spot it. It'll have like this multi-hexadecimal. It'll be like AZYKLMNMNOHT221119. It'll have this whole line of letters. And basically all that is a CRC code and a hidden code behind that. Kind of look for that type of stuff. And any of these themes that you buy for WordPress, to always be safe, all you really have to do is go out and hire a developer to build you a site and make sure they're using images that are that they have the rights to as well. Hey, Windows 8 screenshots are starting to leak. If you're excited about Windows 8 and what Windows 8 may bring to the table, it's forthcoming and stuff is starting to make it on the street a little bit. So this kind of shows the login screen, kind of a weird look here. But I don't know about this particular view. This is the Windows 8 Explorer interface. And this is kind of an experimental. This is not locked down yet. But I said, a little cluttered. And what they're trying to do with this design is to make all the controls and all the commands available on the ribbon at the top. Kind of like it is on Word, or how it was on Word. So I don't know how I feel about this, but it's hard to say what we're going to get in the final product with Windows 8, but only time will tell. Major League Baseball, of course, I think someone told me today that they're like game three for most of the teams. So if you picked up the Major League Baseball pass on your Roku or any other device, KL's also got a good write-up on some issues that she overcome on being able to make her Major League Baseball subscription work, even though, because basically they thought she was one area when she wasn't in another. So definitely check that out if you had a problem with your Major League Baseball subscription. She may have a way out for you. Okay, Yum Table. And I got to take a shot of water here. For some reason, I'm good all day. And as soon as I start the show, I'm starting to get some sinus action. What's up with that? It's my body saying, okay, now it's time to mess with Todd. YumTable.com. Restaurant deals in your city. So, you know, if you're researching for a place to go and you're looking for a deal, or Yum Table is a place. Don't have any experience on this. This is over on KillerStartups.com. They had a review about it. So I'm sure that some restaurants will be involved and some won't, but might be a great way for you to find a good deal when you go out to eat. And at the same time, you can use Yelp or some of the other sites out there to kind of get a feel for the actual restaurant itself. You know, that's kind of cool. If you find a deal, then you go to Yelp and you actually look at the reviews of the restaurant, and that kind of give you a good warm and fuzzy on whether or not this is a restaurant that you actually want to go to or not. But yumtable.com. Another new site is called socialpayout.com, and this is kind of interesting here. If you are looking to support your blog by having people make donations and so forth, Social Payout may be the place to go, but we'll see. We'll see how this particular site works out as well, so check it out, socialpayout.com. Hey, good article on Lifehacker. And I read a fascinating article that was similar to this on the New York Times website on Sunday. I guess I'm still under my 20 page view limit for the month. And basically, this gentleman at the New York Times wrote the article about, says the internet never forgets. And the folks over at Lifehacker said, how did you manage your reputation when your online past came back to haunt you? And I'll admit, when I first got on the net and I was still on doing the BBS scene, and this was back when we, you know, what year would have been that? That'd been, let's see, how old are the kids now? Dun, 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 dun. So at least 15 or 16 years ago. Yeah, at least that much. When things were just kind of kicking off. And being still on the bulletin board scene was kind of weird because there was always flame wars and people loved to fight in these discussion groups. I mean, it was just insane. You could be having this normal conversation and some flamer would come in and interject and make a comment. You still see that in comment boards now on multiple websites. So people would get into these battles. And, I actually had an incident where, I was actually threatened. And then it got to the point where someone called my phone and they were threatening me. And I kind of overreacted and went back and basically said, I'm going to stick a lawyer on you and the whole nine yards. And that all kind of played out, you know. And for years, and probably if you search now specifically for Fido, Todd Cochran, and, you know, search for just the right keywords, you'll probably find, you know, some of that chain at that time. And because some of it played out publicly. And, at the time, you know, you're in the heat of the battle with someone. You're not really worried about how it's going to look 5 years down the road. Cause it's by that time, it's kind of like, well, that was dumb. And, so have any of you had something online that you really wish wasn't? And what did you do to get rid of it? Well, the crux of this is apparently there's companies out there now that do nothing but help people clean up their dirt. They go in behind and, you know, use the broom to clean up all the nasty stuff that people don't want seen when they're going to apply for a job or just went off the net completely. And they're paying as much as like $10,000 a month to make it happen. So obviously it's not cheap. Now, how they're getting rid of it, I don't know. Maybe they're going back to these sites and saying, hey, we'll give you $1,000 if you take his name out of there. You know, that might be going on. I don't know how they're getting rid of this information. But apparently all of the folks that were involved in like Lehman Brothers and some of the Morgan Stanley folks, all those folks, Goldman Sachs, all those folks that were involved in the big mess with the bailout and with the, you know, the financial issues, I guess a lot of those bigwigs there were paying these companies to keep their names out of newspaper articles and everything else they could so they wouldn't be associated with this activity. It just goes to show you, though, that the rich are having a great time covering up their tracks of their deeds, whether they be negative or positive. And average folks like you and I, we can't afford those types of resources to go in and clean up anything that is, we would consider damaging to our reputation. So what are you guys doing? Have you ever went to an extreme to try to get something removed? And I'd love to hear any anonymous comments out there. If you don't want to leave your name, it's fine. I'm going to give the example. It'd be cool, too, or if you had a friend that had this issue, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. And I'd love to hear some of your guys' experiences. And do you know anyone that paid someone to really kind of clean up after them? Love to hear your feedback on that. Okay, I travel a lot, and I don't feel that I need too much packing advice, but flight attendants probably know the best way to pack for travel. And if you want to see how flight attendants pack, I'll have this link up in the show notes. This is a good one. This is a good, oh, by the way, let me see how they do it so I can, you know, have a much better travel experience. Any of you use an automated service to update Facebook or Twitter? It will post randomly for you stuff that you've pre-cached to have tweeted. What's the point? But apparently there's all kinds of services that will do that. You can schedule post. One's called Later Bro. Another one's called, of course, TweetDeck will do the same thing. Social Tomorrow, Hootsuite. All these will schedule tweets for you in advance. Kind of seems like defeating the purpose, right? Isn't those sites for spontaneity and, you know, all of a sudden it logs in your Facebook account and posts something on your wall? Definitely something probably used by a lot of marketeers. But if you want something to post automatically for you, I have a link for you up in the show notes at makeuseof.com. All right, how many of you get sick and tired of when you get a new computer? You have to load on Adobe PDF Reader, all these little extra things that you always have to seem to load. Well, fear no more. Windows 8 is going to have a PDF reader built in. So I'm sure to the shenanigans of Adobe, they're going to be putting a third-party Adobe reader in there. And so you'll be able to, you know, not have to install anything anymore when it comes to reading PDF files on a brand new Windows machine. All right, this next one is a little weird. This is they're called coffee jewels. How many of you got a cup of coffee and it's been too hot? I mean, scalding hot. You want to be able to drink it, but you can't. Gotta wait. Well, I don't know what the true purpose of this is, but they've got these little beans. I don't know if they're aluminum or what they are. Well, they're stainless steel shells containing a proprietary phase change material I thought, again, I'm looking at this. Is this April Fool's? But it's not. It's April 4th being produced for $50. You can put 5 of these in your cup of coffee and it'll cool your coffee off. But just don't swallow them. Okay. I don't know about this one. And they want to charge you how much? They want $50 for 5. What about cold water? Wow. Okay. Again, what do you do after you, how many of you drink your coffee all the way to the bottom? Not very many people do. So these things are at the bottom. You scoop them out. Yeah. And what are you going to do with them? Put them in your pocket? This one's, I think, is going to get the loser product category. All right, I got to show you this video. It's a robot spatula. And I'll try to describe this for those of you watching or listening. So this is, I believe, out of Let me look at it. That doesn't look Japanese. It might be Japanese. So this is kind of mind-bending here. This is a Japanese robotic spatula called Switter. And let me play this for you. Are they going to waste time? Oh, let me put this up. And what it just did, it just scooped up a glob on the floor. I mean, just really slick. Now watch this. They're pouring something on a plate, and then they're going to go scoop it up and then put it somewhere else. This is cool. And then they're going to put it right back down just in the same proportion. This is what I need for cooking eggs. Oh, they're going to mix it up a little bit now. Oh, they got ketchup, and what else is this? This is some sort of a cream. This is going to blow you away. For those of you that are listening, when I saw this, I was totally fascinated with this. Now watch this. This is going to freak you out even more. Okay, clean surface. Was that cool or what? Now here's a regular spatula. Not happening. Oh yeah. They have a very cool product here. And I'm sure restaurants. Oh, here we go. Let's see if they pick it up. Amazing. They lay the perfections back down. Once you guys see this, you're going to be like, oh, they're going to show one more here. And they're actually using a ketchup bottle to put ketchup down. All right. Well, I played enough of this. So anyway, this thing is totally cool. And this is not going to be a consumer product, but it's being used in production lines. And I could see where this would be a perfect product for a restaurant, especially putting desserts down on plates and stuff. It's very, very cool. My wife hasn't seen this yet, so I'm sure she'll get a kick out of it when I show it to her. But I'll have the robot spatula in the show notes for those of you that were listening. You can go and check this out. It's really cool. It's worth the time to go watch it. Now, sometimes people put together products that you go, why? Why do we need this? Now, how many of you have a scale in your kitchen? I don't. Never have. Never seen a need for one. Have you got a scale in your kitchen? So why would you need this? It's a kitchen scale with a built-in iPod dock. Okay. First of all, I don't ever remember seeing a scale in anybody's kitchen. But they went $99.99 for one. But better yet, why would I want a scale with an iPod dock? It doesn't have an app. It seems like anything they can put an iPod dock in, they are. It's just dumber and dumber. It really is. All right, geeks. You're going to want to get your wallets out for this one. Now, this one here is a little bit cool. I found these stuff all over Ogizmo. Love this site. Where they can find these stuff, I don't know. But what this is a radar watch. It's a very limited edition, 500 pieces. It only sets you back $5,500, but it tells time with a radar type of interface. So if you're looking to get a radar watch, you definitely can pick one of these up, and a little short 14-second video here, and you'll be able to watch it actually. He's setting the time with it. So pretty cool. And I have to admit, I would love one just to have it, but for $5,500, no, thank you very much. No, 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 no. Can't happen. Not on my pay scale, that's for sure. But if you want a super geek product, that's where you go. All right. So, you know, jailbreaking the iPhone and so forth. You know, a lot of people are doing it. And of course, it's been kind of one of those things where even though they tell us we can jailbreak, a lot of people don't. A lot of people are worried about copyright and worried about all this other stuff that goes along with jailbreaking. Well, jailbreaking has grown up. Cydia has scored an advertising deal with Toyota. So you know when a jailbreaking site is able to get advertisers, you know that jailbreaking has jumped the shark. So the Cydia site scored advertising deal with from Toyota, so good on them. Those of you who live in New York, have any of you picked up this new RFID and embedded driver's license? You're going to wrap tinfoil around this thing when you're going around? Well, apparently this new radio identification chip in the EDL, in the enhanced driver's license, will be able to be scanned by authorities to identify citizens entering the state from Canada or Mexico or the Caribbean intercontinental travelers. You'll not need your passport, but you'll be able to use this at the border. And so anyway, make sure you have your aluminum foil with you to put this in your wallet as you're walking around so people aren't sniffing out your driver's license details. The Russians have launched a Soyuz spacecraft to the International Space Station. And they've sent the crew up, I guess, on the anniversary that cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin became the first person to launch a space. It was dedicated to him. So they're heading out to the International Space Station with a new crew. So matter of fact, NASA has had to change some launch plans to the Endeavour because of the Russian launch. They're going to be pushing back Endeavour's launch to the 29th versus the 19th. A little more space news as well. I guess that's it. That's all I had. I've got an image here from a new satellite that's in orbit. Kind of a cool topographical colorized image. It's a little different than what I've seen in normal satellite pictures. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you too. Do you guys know that Google has a crisis response team? It's basically a small team that works that anytime some sort of a crisis like the Japan earthquake / tsunami / the nuclear power plant meltdown, they have a response team that basically builds and launches specific sites to help do people finding and that type of stuff. Well, there's more details from Google about that response team and what they're doing. I think it's a pretty good write-up. I'll have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right, let's talk about North Carolina for a second. The North Carolina legislature has introduced a piece of legislation called Level Playing Field Local Government Competition Act. Now, let me read that to you again. Level Playing Field / Local Government Competition Act. And what this really is a piece of legislation that really sounds kind of, you know, sounds like something you could get behind, right? But instead, what it really does is this measure, if enacted, will not only fail to level the playing field, it's going to discourage municipal governments from addressing deployment in communities where private sector has failed to meet broadband service needs. In other words, it will be a significant barrier to broadband deployment and may impede local efforts to promote economic development. Essentially making it very, very, very hard or near impossible for local municipalities to roll out their own internet service. Now, FCC Commissioner Mignon Clyburn had choice words today for the cable industry-backed legislation, basically saying that this legislation would slow new municipal broadband projects down to a crawl in that state. And she says, I remain concerned that when cities and local governments are prohibited from investing directly in their own broadband network, citizens may be denied the opportunity to connect with their nation and improve their lives. Clyburn's protest concludes, local economies will suffer as a result, and the community's ability to effectively address education, health, public safety, and other social issues will be severely hampered. The North Carolina bill is now in the Senate's Judiciary Committee. It's already passed their House legislature. So if you live in North Carolina or have friends that live in North Carolina, you got to get on the phone, folks. You got to get on the folks on the phone now and fight this immediately. If you do not, you're going to have one passed underneath your noses that you may not be aware of, okay? You know, many places they've made marijuana legal to get through a doctor's prescription. Of course, that does not change the policies that many companies have, that if you test positive for a substance such as marijuana, that you can be relieved of your job and asked to go have employment elsewhere. So what they've come up with is a modified cannabinoid called basically it's a THC, basically that's the chemical in marijuana they see that is helps people with medical issues. But they've come up with a pill or some sort of a treatment that actually gives you the THC, but does not give you, you don't have to smoke it to get it. The question I have is most of these companies out there, that's the thing that they test for. And if you test positive for THC in your sample that you've given them, that's usually grounds for being fired. So they're coming up with a chemical version of that to offer as some sort of a pain relief without the buzz. So we'll see what happens with this. But this is a very specific painkiller. It blocks his reflexes to pain, but doesn't inhibit higher level processing or painful sensation. I just wonder how many people will want it to, not indulge in the smoking part, but indulge in the actual taking of a painkiller that will do the same thing. So I'm not going to talk about the positive negatives or anything about this particular product, but it does make you go, just a little bit. But if doctors these groups have developed this painkiller, there is something to what people have been saying for a long time is effective for some people in reducing pain and symptoms that they may have. All right, judge administered another beatdown of peer-to-peer lawyers. Boy, I tell you, judges can't make up their minds. Washington, D.C., they say they're okay to do it. But a federal judge in Chicago have basically said, hey, you can't do what you're doing. And they've just tore up some lawyers' cases. And basically, there's been all kinds of back and forth. One judge says, hey, it's okay that you sue 1,800 people. The other judge says, no, you can't do that. It's out of this jurisdiction. So, good write-up today on Ars. Talking about a couple of cases that have gotten significant slapdown from Chicago-based federal judges. And they're not playing in Chicago, but they're playing ball in Washington, D.C. So I can absolutely guarantee you which district these cases are going to be filed in from the future. If you're going to have a sympathetic judge in Washington, D.C., who just happened to used to be an RIAA lobbyist, by the name of Beryl Howell. And yes, again, she was the judge in Washington, D.C., who ruled in favor of these lawsuits. Someone's going to have to figure this out sooner or later. This madness continues. If you're waiting for the iPhone 5, well, Sony CEO has basically tipped his hat saying that the iPhone 5 is going to be coming with an 8 megapixel camera. That's pretty exciting stuff. So we'll see what develops there. Got a good article on data caps around the world. So if we're hearing all kinds of stuff about us having more data caps, you think we've got it bad, you need to go through this list and see how they've got it in Australia, UK, and Canada, where there are some pretty restrictive data caps in place for people in those countries. If you are a Mac OS X fanboy, you definitely want to get involved with what's called the Apple Seed Project. The Apple Seed Project gives non-developers access to pre-release versions of Mac OS X. Don't know how you get on it, but good write-up on it. Again, I have a link to it in the show notes. Maybe you can figure out how to actually get involved. Oh, it's appleseed.apple.com. But anyway, I have a link in the show notes for you to review. I'm running real long here tonight. How many of you got email today from a specific company? Maybe you got one from Best Buy. Maybe you got one from Walgreens, Capital One, Citigroup. I got five. I got five emails today announcing how the Epsilon email company basically has been breached, and my email has been sucked out of that their databases from those companies that sent me emails today. They're saying so far it's just emails, no other information than that. But great to list for the spammers to have. a bunch of legitimate emails. Nothing like hackers having that to add to their spam list. For the first time, a federal court is going to review the $67,500 music piracy fine that was basically held against the case involving Joel Tenenbaum. Remember, he initially was told he was going to have to pay $675,000 in damage. It was reduced to $67,500. And now the U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit Court heard oral arguments appealed today. So we'll see where that goes. But this is the first time a federal court has heard one of these. Maybe we can get some jurisdiction here going on. Woz made a pretty wild comment today. Woz said the tablet is the PC for normal people. Does that mean that those of us that don't need a tablet are not normal? Okay, Woz, maybe we should qualify that. I can see where some of these comments might make sense. My wife doesn't use her laptop anymore, but she doesn't have a need to do a bunch of heavy-duty lifting either, as far as video editing or anything like that. She's quite content surfing the net, reading her email, working on apps. Very rarely does she pull up the laptop. So maybe Woz has something there. So I guess I would consider my wife a normal computer user. So do you guys agree with Woz that the tablet is the PC for normal people? I don't know. I think most of us have been working on laptops for a long time, right? Hey, the Financial Times is fighting Apple on access to subscriber data. They're saying we're not doing it. We're not giving up control. Apple, you can pack sand. We're not making the switch over. We're not going to give you access to our 440,000 subscriber base. It's not happening. No way, no how. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this with the Financial Times. So it's nice to see a big company stand up to them. PC Magazine, PCMag.com has a good write-up on Apple versus all the rest. Every mobile app store compared. And it's basically a full-blown comparison of each app store. But what I think is kind of interesting is here's the numbers. Apple, 350,000. Android, 150. HP Web OS, App Catalog, 7,000. BlackBerry App World, 25,000. Ovi Store, 35,000. Windows Phone Marketplace, 11,500. Amazon App Store for Android, 4,500. GetJar, I don't know what that is, 80,000 apps. And Pocket Gear, Handangle, and others varies by storefront, 140,000 available. So believe me, there's enough apps out there for everybody on whatever platform you're on. I have a link up in the show notes. You can check this out. As you can tell, I'm out of time. I'm going to go way long. So we're going to skip that one. We'll close him down. And hey, hear about this California library? They're going to get rid of books. How can you have a library and not have books? Facing the likelihood of state budget cuts that would eliminate $15 million for library and reading programs, and apparently to create a future in which people no longer read things, the city of Newport Beach is considering turning its first library into a community center that would host all the same amenities except for the books. Apparently, the library has not liked the response from the general public. And they've hastened to clarify that no final decision has been made. Wow. Newport Beach. I'm sure they have more than one library, but removing the books, what sense does that make? Hey, those of you that are missing a little hair on top, like me, there may be some hope yet. Some testing they did with mice recently, they accidentally found out a way to get some hair back. Oh, yeah. And apparently, they are finding out that specific doses of a certain type of chemical helps get your hair back. So I'm actually kind of intrigued about that. So it'll be a long time, long, long time before this will be on the market. But let me tell you something. If they figured it out, it'd be a billion dollar discovery. That's for sure. Because us fellas, we don't like our, you know, it's like we lose the hair on top and they go somewhere else, you know? hey, do you have a high schooler? Do you think that Algebra 2 should be required in high school? They're considering it in a bunch of states, 20 states. have moved to raise graduation requirements include Algebra 2. This is a good move, I think. And a good article by Harvard Business Review. And I'll kind of leave it there because I've got a voicemail and some emails to go through. And I've got some other articles tonight that I'll have in the show notes, but I did not cover. But the last article I'm going to talk about here is they're saying big content is strangling American innovation. Now, I love it when a big prestigious group like Harvard comes out and basically smashes down big content providers. But it says innovation has emerged as a key means by which the U.S. can pull itself out of the lackluster economy. In the State of the Union, President Obama referred to China and India as the new threats to America's position as the world's leading innovator. But the threats are just not external. One of the greatest threats to the U.S. ability to innovate lies within, specifically, with the music and movie business. These big content businesses are attempting to protect themselves from change so aggressively that they risk damaging America's position as a world leader in innovation. I need not say any more. It goes on and on here, and examples of why they're affecting innovation in a big way. And I could not agree more. This is a great article. This is probably the article you need to read tonight. I'll have a link up in the show notes for some other stuff that we did not get to. Primarily talking about the COICA censorship bill and how people from both sides of the fence, both parties, are getting on board and saying this is not good. Also got some information about single-sentence copyright infringement, which the court threw out. And we find out who the two individuals were. Apparently, Senator John Kyle and Senator Jeff Sessions were the two that were holding back the whistleblower protection bill that was trying to be pushed through the Senate. So if those are two of your senators, you might want to send them an email and expressing your feelings. And for those of you that live in the European Union, did you know that the European Union is appointing IFPI lobbyists to copyright role, setting copyright policy? Seems like the EU is doing whatever they want. And citizens be darned, they're just doing whatever they feel they need to do. And with no recourse. Those of you looking for a new podcast player for your iPhone, check out Instacast, Instacast.com. And let's skip that. Let's skip this. Let's skip that one. And we'll skip that one. I think that's it. I think that's all we're going to cover. And then some stuff in here about the .ly domains and what's still going on with Libya. And also about some Firefox add-ons slowing down Firefox. Okay. Let me get into the voicemail. I got a long one here from one of our longtime listeners out in New York City, I believe. And he is got a response to that Ivy League mom who basically didn't want to, basically was suing because her kids didn't get educated enough to be, you know, affected when they were in preschool. Remember that one? Well, anyway, here's the, I haven't only listened to a portion of this. So this is 4 minutes and 43 seconds. But we'll see what one of our Ohana members have to say here. Here we go.
Hey, Todd. Brian in Brooklyn here. Just a little recap for you. This preamp, I don't know why it gets so noisy unless it's warmed up for an hour. You'd think it'd be the other way around. Anyway, you remember this story you told us about a few weeks ago about this New York mother suing the preschool for not properly preparing her four-year-old for Ivy League college? well, I got a little inside info on that. I was at breakfast a couple weeks ago with this fella who is an appointed city official. He's pretty high up there on the political food chain, knows everything about everybody. And when I mentioned that story, he says, oh, yeah, that woman's husband is a big lobbyist. And he lobbies for all these causes that are, I'll keep this nonpartisan. But it's probably not what you would think. I mean, it's not the New York elitist latte sipping crowd. I'll just say this guy lobbies for causes that, they're usually associated with that group that's, named for a different caffeinated beverage. But on the subject of lobbyists, you were ranting recently about the AT&T Mobile merger, takeover. How do you like that? AT&T Mobile. Yeah, you were going on about the lobbies. Well, I thought you'd find this interesting. There's a piece in Sunday's New York Times titled Cutting Out the Middleman. And this was news to me, but apparently this is a big trend. Here's a quote. Since last year, nearly 100 lawmakers have hired former lobbyists as their chief of staff or legislative directors. So they're saying that, close quote. So what they're saying is that these lobbyists are hired into positions where they're actually writing and crafting policy for the very causes that they were lobbying for. Only difference, I guess, now is that they're doing it on the taxpayers' dime. I mean, this is just, how much worse can it get? I mean, these elected officials, they're going from string puppet to hand puppet, if you know what I mean. I mean, the special interest really got their hand up to, I'll keep it, y'all, safe. And also, just to follow up on this, when you spoke about General Electric made $26 billion in profit but didn't pay any income tax, I don't think you mentioned that they also received $4.1 billion refund. You know, I understand there's reasons why the corporations get these big tax breaks, but it's usually, I guess, the idea or some sort of promise that that they're going to spend, invest, and hire. But that doesn't seem to be happening now. I mean, according to a United States Senator, independent, by the way, nonpartisan, okay, he's saying that corporations are just sitting on nearly $2 trillion. But it's not just GE. According to him, 2009, ExxonMobil made $19 billion in profit, paid no tax, received $156 million rebate from the IRS. According to SEC filings, Bank of America received $1.9 billion in refund from the IRS, even though it made $4.4 billion in profit, received bailout money from the Fed and Treasury for nearly $1 trillion. Valero Energy, $68 billion in sales last year, received $157 million refund. 2008, Goldman Sachs only paid 1.1% of its income in tax, earned profit of $2.3 billion, received almost $800 billion from the Fed and Treasury in bailout. Last year, Citigroup made over $4 billion in profits, paid no federal income tax, received $2.5 trillion in bailout from Fed and Treasury. Chevron received $19 million refund in IRS, even though it made $10 billion in profits in 2009, and the list just goes on and on, but I guess you get the general idea. Is there really a budget crisis, or am I just misinformed? All right, I've taken enough of your time, but I got an excellent Time Warner story for you. I'll save it for later. All right, aloha.
Hey, Brian, you know... I need a different accountant. I really do. You know, let me, I don't have it here. It's not underneath the desk anymore. I've got a package about that thick for my little small business here to Podcast Connect. It's that thick. I paid my accountant $4,000. That's how much my accountant bill was last year. $4,000 was to do my, he does my books and my taxes. I paid him $4,000 to do my, to take care of it. And my tax folder was that thick. And I paid the man. Obviously, I need a different accountant or a different lawyer or a different strategy. It's the small business guys who are paying the taxes. Because I guess we're too stupid to figure out how to offshore stuff. Oh, man. Sad, isn't it? It's really sad. All right, I got an email from John. We'll get back on tech here. Too much politics. I'm sorry. Got an email from John. I thought you would be interested in the news released attached as a PDF from California Senator Alan Lowenthal about his Do Not Track bill. I did not open this up, but thanks for that, John. I know that was in the news today. Got an email here from Barry. He says, hey, Todd, thought you'd find this interesting. Podcasts are now being recognized as an authoritative source in the legal community. It's going to be in the new edition of the Blue Book, the 19th edition of the Blue Book, which is coming out this week. There's going to be references in there for those of you in the legal space that's going to give you the proper way to source or how to recognize podcasts in your write-ups. So thanks for that, Barry. That's a big one. It really is. Got an email here from Robert. He said, hey, Todd, use at your discretion. Sent me three links. Number one, alphabetical list of companies affected by the Epsilon email security breach. Got that. Number two, set social networking and Google search end results. So I'll add that. Talk about the plus one button. Number three, countries most interested in developing websites with the lowest with the latest HTML technology. I have that link up. And he says, check out spitballs.com. Podcaster listeners since about episode 170 in 2006. Thanks, Robert, for the links. And I have a link up to your site as well in the show notes. Appreciate it. Got an email from Brian. He says, hey, Todd, love the new look in the green screen on the March 31st show. Would like to know if it's possible to have the webpage take up the whole screen so it is readable to the viewers. Absolutely. And we'll work on that on the next green screen show we do. Got a good one here, folks. I got an email from a gal who is basically put together some music for the upcoming Endeavor launch. And they're basically in a contest with 10 other groups or 10 other songs where they are going to be playing as a wake-up song. And so this article, I'll actually put the link up in the show notes. You guys go over and listen to the song. If you think it's going to make a great wake-up song for the Endeavor crew, vote for it. The song is Dreams You Give by the direction of Brian Plunkett. I know Brian, I think he's been a listener of the show for a while, and actually this came from his wife, Mary. But definitely check this out. Link will be up in the show notes on this. So again, they're in a song contest at songcontest.nasa.gov. And all the final songs can be heard and voted on at the website, but the one that you want to pay attention to is Dreams You Give. Okay? Last couple of emails here. Todd, on the show, you asked about the app we can't live without. I know it's sad, but the app I cannot live without is GNU Cache, closely followed by Adobe Lightroom and Photographer Infamous. So got this from Chris, and I have links to these in the show notes. And well, that's it. That's all we've got for emails, and we're like done. We're out of here. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. If you like the show, like the content, email me. If you like the show, hate the show, don't like the show, want to see the show change, call the voicemail hotline again, 619-342-7365. We'll see you next time. Everyone, take care and aloha.